Chapter 17. The hugest dictionary in the library said under lip, either of a pair of fleshy folds surrounding an orifice. Milichii, Emile, as Ada called Monsieur Littré, spoke thus. Partie extérieure est charnue, qui forme le contour de la bouche. Les deux bords d'un plaie simple. We simply speak with our wounds. Wounds procreate. C'est le membre qui lèche, dearest Emile. A fat little Russian encyclopedia was solely concerned with guba, lip, as meaning a district court in ancient Lyaska or an Arctic gulf. Their lips were absurdly similar in style, tint, and tissue. Van's upper one resembled in shape a long-winged seabird coming directly at you, while the nether lip, fat and sullen, gave a touch of brutality to his usual expression. Nothing of that brutality existed in the case of Ada's lips, but the bow shape of the upper one and the largeness of the lower one, with its disdainful prominence and opaque pink, repeated Van's mouth in a feminine key. During our children's kissing phase, a not particularly healthy fortnight of long, messy embraces, some odd pudibund screen cut them off, so to speak, from each other's raging bodies. But contacts and reactions to contacts could not help coming through like a distant vibration of desperate signals. Endlessly, steadily, delicately, Van would brush his lips against hers, teasing their burning bloom, back and forth, right, left, life, death, reveling in the contrast between the airy tenderness of the open idol and the gross congestion of the hidden flesh. There were other kisses. "I'd like to taste," he said, "the inside of your mouth. God, how I'd like to be a goblin-sized Gulliver and explore that cave." "I can lend you my tongue," she said, and did. A large boiled strawberry, still very hot. He sucked it in as far as it would go. He held her close and lapped her palate. Their chins got thoroughly wet. "Hanky," she said, and informally slipped her hand into his trouser pocket, but withdrew it quickly and had him give it himself. No comment. "I appreciated your tact," he told her when they recalled with amusement and awe that rapture and that discomfort. "But we lost a lot of time. Irretrievable opals." He learned her face. Nose, cheek, chin all possessed such a softness of outline, associated retrospectively with keepsakes and picture hats and frightfully expensive little courtesans in Wicklow, that a mawkish admirer might well have imagined the pale plume of a reed, that unthinking man, Pascal Trezza, shaping her profile, while a more childish and sensual digit would have liked and did like to palpate that nose, cheek, chin. Remembrance, like Rembrandt, is dark but festive. Remembered ones dress up for the occasion and sit still. Memory is a photo studio deluxe on an infinite Fifth Power avenue. The fillet of black velvet binding her hair that day, the day of the mental picture, brought out its sheen at the silk of the temple and along the chalk of the parting. It hung lank and long over the neck, its flow disjoined by the shoulder, so that the matte white of her neck through the black bronze stream showed in triangular elegancy. Accentuating her nose's slight tilt turned it into lucettes, smoothing it down into Samoyed. In both sisters, the front teeth were a trifle too large, and the nether lip too fat for the ideal beauty of marble death. And because their noses were permanently stuffed, both girls, especially later, at 15 and 12, looked a little dreamy or dazed in profile. The lusterless whiteness of Ada's skin, at 12, 16, 20, 33, etc., was incomparably rarer than Lucette's golden bloom. at 8, 12, 16, 25, fini. In both, the long, pure line of the throat coming straight from Marina tormented the senses with unknown, ineffable promises, not kept by the mother. The eyes, Ada's dark brown eyes. What, Ada asks, are eyes anyway? Two holes in the mask of life. What, she asks, would they mean to a creature from another corpuscle or milk bubble whose organ of sight was, say, an internal parasite, resembling the written word deified? What, indeed, would a pair of beautiful, human, Lemurian, owlish eyes mean to anybody if found lying on the seat of a taxi? Yet I have to describe yours. The iris, black-brown with amber specks or spokes placed around the serious pupil in a dial arrangement of identical hours. The eyelids, sort of pleaty, v-sladochku, rhyming in Russian with the diminutive of her name in the accusative case. Eye shape, languorous. The procuress in Wicklow on that satanic night of black sleet, at the most tragic and almost fatal point of my life, Van, thank goodness, is 90 now, in Ada's hand, dwelt with peculiar force on the long eyes of her pathetic and adorable grandchild. How I used to seek, with what tenacious anguish, traces and tokens of my unforgettable love in all the brothels of the world. He discovered her hands, forget that nail-biting business, the pathos of the carpus, the grace of the phalanges, demanding helpless genuflections, a mist of brimming tears, agonies of unresolvable adoration. He touched her wrists like a dying doctor. A quiet madman, he caressed the parallel strokes of the delicate down shading the brunette's forearm. He went back to her knuckles. Fingers, please. I am sentimental, she said. I could dissect a koala, but not its baby. I like the words damoiselle, eglantine, elegant. I love when you kiss my elongated white hand. She had on the back of her left hand the same small brown spot that marked his right one. She was sure, she said, either disingenuously or giddily. It descended from a birthmark Marina had had removed surgically from that very place years ago, when in love with a cad who complained it resembled a bedbug. On very still afternoons, one could hear the pre-tunnel toot of the tutu to Toulouse from the hill, where that exchange can be localized. Cad is too strong, remarked Van. I used it fondly. Even so, I think I know the man. He has less heart than wit, that's a fact. As he looks, the palm of a gypsy asking for alms fades into that of the almsgiver asking for a long life. When will filmmakers reach the stage we have reached? Blinking in the green sunshine under a birch tree, Ada explained to her passionate fortune-teller that the circular marblings she shared with Turgenev's Katya, another innocent girl, were called waltzes in California. Because the señorita will dance all night. On her 12th birthday, July 21st, 1884, the child had stopped biting her fingernails, but not her toenails, in a grand act of will, as her quitting cigarettes was to be 20 years later. True, one could list some compensations, such as a blessed lapse into delicious sin at Christmas, when Kulak's Chateaubriandy brown does not fly. A new and conclusive resolution was taken on New Year's Eve after Mademoiselle La Riviere had threatened to smear poor Ada's fingertips with French mustard and tie green, yellow, orange, red, pink riding hoods of wool around them. The yellow index was a trouvaille. Soon after the birthday picnic, when kissing the hands of his little sweetheart had become a tender obsession with Van, her nails, although still on the squarish side, became strong enough to deal with the excruciating itch that local children experienced in midsummer. During the last week of July, there emerged, with diabolical regularity, the female of Chateaubriand's mosquito. Chateaubriand, Charles, who had not been the first to be bitten by it, but the first to bottle the offender, and with cries of vindictive exultation to carry it to Professor Brown, who wrote the rather slap-bang original description, small black palpi, hyaline wings, yellowy in certain lights, which should be extinguished if one keeps open the casements. German printer. The Boston entomologist for August, quick work, 1840, was not related to the great poet and memoirist born between Paris and Tanya, as he'd better, said Ada, who liked crossing orchids. Mon enfant, ma sœur, songe à la pêche, du grand chêne à Tanya, songe à la montagne, songe à la douceur. Of scraping with one's claws or nails the spots visited by that fluffy-footed insect characterized by an insatiable and reckless appetite for Ada's and Ardella's, Lucette's and Lucille's, multiplied by the itch, blood. The pest appeared as suddenly as it would vanish. It settled on pretty bare arms and legs without the hint of a hum, in a kind of recueilli silence that, by contrast, caused the sudden insertion of its absolutely hellish proboscis to resemble the brass crash of a military band.
This is the end of disc number 3. Please insert disc number 4. This is disc number 4.
The pest appeared as suddenly as it would vanish. It settled on pretty bare arms and legs without the hint of a hum, in a kind of recueilli silence that, by contrast, caused the sudden insertion of its absolutely hellish proboscis to resemble the brass crash of a military band. 5 minutes after the attack in the crepuscule, between porch step and cricket-crazed garden, a fiery irritation would set in, which the strong and the cold ignored, confident it would last a mere hour, but which the weak, the adorable, the voluptuous took advantage of to scratch and scratch and scratch scrumptuously, canteen cant. Sladko, sweet, Pushkin used to exclaim in relation to a different species in Yukon. During the week following her birthday, Ada's unfortunate fingernails used to stay garnet-stained, and after a particularly ecstatic, lost-to-the-world session of scratching, blood literally streamed down her shins. A pity to see, mused her distressed admirer, but at the same time disgracefully fascinating, for we are visitors and investigators in a strange universe, indeed, indeed. The girl's pale skin, so excitingly delicate to Van's eye, so vulnerable to the beast's needle, was nevertheless as strong as a stretch of Samarkand satin, and withstood all self-flaying attempts whenever Ada, her dark eyes veiled as in the erotic trances Van had already begun to witness during their immoderate kissing, her lips parted, her large teeth lacquered with saliva, scraped with her 5 fingers the pink mounds caused by the rare insect's bite. For it is a rather rare and interesting mosquito, described not quite simultaneously by 2 angry old men. The second was Brown, the Philadelphian dipterist, a much better one than the Boston professor. And rare and rapturous was the sight of my beloved trying to quench the lust of her precious skin, leaving it first pearly, then ruby, stripes along her enchanting leg, and briefly attaining a drugged beatitude, into which, as into a vacuum, the ferocity of the itch would rush with renewed strength. "Look here," said Vaughn. "If you do not stop now, when I say 1, 2, 3, I shall open this knife." Opening the knife. "And slash my leg to match yours. Oh, please, devour your fingernails. Anything is more welcome. Because, perhaps, Van's life stream was too bitter, even in those glad days, Chateaubriand's mosquito never cared much for him. Nowadays, it seems to be getting extinct, what with the cooler climate and the moronic draining of the lovely, rich marshes in the Lodore region, as well as near Kaluga, Connecticut, and Lugano, Pennsylvania. A short series, all females, replete with their fortunate captor's blood, has recently been collected, I am told, in a secret habitat quite far from the above-mentioned stations. Ada's note.